My friends, false teachers have been a concern of the church from its inception. Christ himself predicted the coming of false Christs in Matthew 24:24, and Paul called them savage wolves that attack the flock, Acts 20:29-31. To understand the wolf is to understand something of the nature of the Antichrist. The more fully we are aware of the dangers of the enemy, the better prepared we will be to resist him. Now, Paul did not compare the enemy to wolves for nothing. But what makes wolves such cunning hunters? Well, wolves are nocturnal. They prefer to hunt after dusk under the cover of night. Wolves test herds for signs of weakness, taking advantage of the very sick and the old. They sniff the air for wounds or the smell of infection. And once the prey is picked, the wolves travel in the opposite direction from which the wind blows to prevent the prey from catching their scent. Wolves also observe ravens to find prey. Ravens circle in the air above sick animals. Circling birds mean that food is close by. The wolf pack quietly will close in on their target, often in a single line. They seize their prey by the rump or the sides, preferring to attack from behind. Well, based on the tactics of wolves, what can we learn about how false teachers operate? And how can this understanding help us guard against their attacks? Well, we've been told that confederacies or coalitions will increase in number and power as we draw nearer to the end of time. And these groups will create opposing theories of the truth, and apostasy will increase. The spirit of prophecy tells us that there will become a great apostasy. There will come a falling away in spirituality. Many will turn away their ears from hearing the truth and will accept fables. Friends, every wind of doctrine has come into the church to oppose the Lord God of heaven, and God's people are only half awake to the situation. There needs to be much more prayer and much more earnest Bible study and commitment among us. Now, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:1 that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Friends, the time of this apostasy is already here, today, and every conceivable effort is being made to throw doubt upon the foundational biblical doctrines of the church and what it was founded upon. As this most solemn time, the Lord would have us to give a new and fresh energy to spreading the truth. Satan knows this, and he is determined that it shall not happen. He knows that if he can deceive those of us who claim to believe present truth and make us believe that the work the Lord wants us to do is to remove the old landmarks, he would rejoice. I personally have been surprised at the many and various stumbling blocks the devil has thrown at us in the form of hindrances and false theories. The servant of the Lord says concerning our time, that which is food to the churches is regarded by some as dangerous and should not be given them. And this is allowed to unsettle the faith, to cause apostasy, to break up unity, and to sow discord. You see, apostasy comes into the church when piety or Christlikeness is left out of the heart by those who should have kept step with their precious Savior. When the people of God separate from the source of their strength, then pride, vanity, extravagance, and display follow. We have our idols within our hearts and idols without. But thankfully, Jesus sends his Holy Spirit as a reprover of sin so that his people may be warned of their apostasy and rebuked for their backsliding. Friends, is it possible that we are halting between two opinions? Are we neglecting to heed the light which God has given us? Are we looking carefully to see if we might be fostering a heart of unbelief? We know not the time when the books of our life will be closed in the judgment. The great sin of the Jews was that of neglecting and rejecting present opportunities. As Jesus looked at the spiritual condition of his professed followers today, do you know what he sees? He sees based ingratitude, hollow formalism, hypocritical insincerity, pharisaical pride, and apostasy. Now, if we who have had great light do not have corresponding faith, love, and obedience, we will soon drift away from the truth. Friends, you and I have been we've been exalted to heaven in regard to opportunities and privileges, and if we are not careful, we ourselves could fall into a worse condition than the most zealous advocates of error. You and I have met those who dishonor God by violating His law while talking of sanctification, and we know that this is no more acceptable than was the offering of Cain. Loving and willing obedience to all the commandments of God is the only true sign of sanctification. Disobedience is a sign of disloyalty and apostasy. Dear friends, departing from the faith begins in some secret rebellion of the mind or heart. Unholy desires and unlawful ambitions are cherished in our heart and indulged. And when holy principles of God's word are not followed, unbelief and darkness then begins to separate us from God. And if we do not recognize and plead the merits of the blood of Jesus to overcome these evils, you know the end result. Now, how did the church in the early centuries first depart from the simplicity of the gospel? Well, they conformed to the world in order to make Christianity a little more acceptable. The Apostle Paul declared even in his day, the mystery of iniquity does already work. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 7. Now, during the lives of the apostles, the church remained comparatively pure. But toward the latter end of the second century, most of the churches assumed a new form. The first simplicity disappeared, and as the old disciples retired to their graves, their children, along with new converts, came forward and remodeled the church. In order to win converts, the exalted standard of the Christian faith was lowered, and as a result, a pagan flood flowing into the church carried with it its customs, practices, and idols. As the Christian religion secured the favor and support of secular rulers, it was nominally accepted by multitudes. But while professing Christianity, many remained in substance pagans, especially worshiping in secret their idols. Now, friends, one thing is certain. Those Seventh-day Adventists who take their stand under Satan's banner will first give up their faith in the warnings and reproofs contained in the spirit of prophecy. This church has learned by painful experience that when the spirit of prophecy is ignored or its warnings lightly regarded, coldness, backsliding, worldly-mindedness, and spiritual darkness take possession of the church. Now, I would be unfaithful to my sense of duty if I did not speak in strong and pointed language my views of the importance of the spirit of prophecy. The fearful apostasy of those who have slighted and despised it has furnished many sad proofs of a dangerous business of ignoring the spirit of grace. Friends, Solomon's sad story of apostasy portrays the result of separation from God. One false step prepares the way for a second and a third, and every additional step away from the truth is taken more easily than the last. You and I are privileged to be able to read the God-given warnings of Solomon's life. As followers of Christ, we are to honor our Master by studying and obeying His teachings. We are to show our love and reverence of Jesus by refusing to conform to the world's standard of right. Let us beware of departing from the simplicity of our faith. The Christian standard of right must ever and always be the standard that is given in the Bible. Constantly we are to guard against every worldly influence that would weaken us in moral power. Even though you and I have had great light and many spiritual blessings that God has given to us, it is not a security against the sin and apostasy of these last days. Many of those whom the Lord has put into high positions of trust have turned from heaven's light to human wisdom. Their light has become darkness, their God entrusted capabilities a snare, their character an offense to God. And the Bible says that God will not be mocked. A departure from Him has been and always will be followed by its sure results. The committing of acts that displease God will, unless decidedly repented of and forsaken, lead us on step by step in deception, till many sins are committed with no fear of the consequences. My friends, if all of us who come together for worship and prayer would actually be surrendered to God, then the blessings of Jesus and the latter rain would be poured out in a greater measure. But it is in vain to deceive ourselves. Things are far from being what the appearance would indicate. The prevailing spirit of our time is that of infidelity and apostasy, and a spirit of pretended Christianity is in this world. There is a spirit of opposition to the plain Word of God and to the testimony of His Spirit. A love of the world and its attractions has captivated the minds of most of the world today and has led to a falling away from the love of the truth and the principles of holy living by many of God's children. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." And the servant of the Lord further tells us, before the last developments of the word of apostasy, there will be a confusion of faith. There will not be clear and definite ideas concerning the mystery of God. One truth after another will be corrupted. Oh, my friends, the Lord has declared that the history of the past should be restudied as we enter upon the closing work. Every truth that He has given for these last days is to be proclaimed to the world. Every pillar that He has established is to be strengthened. We cannot now step off the foundation that God has established. We cannot now enter into any new reinterpretation of the pillars of our faith. Don't listen to the wolves that are chewing away at our doctrines. Now, the greatest danger of God's ancient people arose from their inclination to disregard His direct requirements and to follow instead their own desires. This is the same sin and danger of His people at the present time. The spiritual weakness of a church may be traced in a great degree to the lax sentiments which have been coming in as a sure result of our conformity to the world. The Sabbath is not even as sacredly regarded as it should be. Improper marriages with their resulting evils have dragged down many to apostasy and ruin. We who are living in these last days are in the greatest danger of placing our confidence in people rather than in the true and living God. The Lord has told us to study the history of the apostasy of Israel, because those who in the past who have had great light have become self-sufficient and were looking to people, trusting in human leaders who were themselves practicing evil. And don't we see this in the practical world today? Men who ought to stand as firm as a rock to principle are treading in the same path that the Israelites followed. We read from inspiration that a spurious light will be accepted in the place of truth by some who feel called upon to be expositors of the Scriptures. And many who claim to preach a word and talk much about the plan of redemption and about the law of God do not apply it to their own hearts and character. Christ is not brought into their lives? And can we then be surprised to hear of ministers falling under temptation and sin, disgracing the cause they were professedly advocating? Many times we hear about these ministers and their sins on the evening news. Can we wonder that there are apostasies when those who urge conversion upon others are not themselves converted? When they commend to others the love of Christ which does not glow in their own souls, preaching repentance which they themselves have not practiced, and faith which they have no experimental knowledge of, telling of a Savior whom they have never known except by rumor? Friends are self-deceived men, and not far from destruction. Pitiful indeed is their situation. All may seem peaceful to them, because the palsy of death is upon them. Please stay away from these people, and don't read their books. Now, friends, Jesus is fully aware that many dishonest and immoral men who preach the word are not always reproved and warned. they are not always unmasked. They learn to hold the truth in unrighteousness and can temper with it without a trembling heart and rebuke of conscience. Oh, that our people who claim to be pastors of the flock and messengers of sacred and eternal truth will feel the necessity of enthroning the Word of God in their own heart and bringing every thought, word, and action into subjection to Jesus Christ. For it is a fearful responsibility to be in daily connection with the truth of God, telling others of eternity, and yet be unsanctified through the truth. Friends, disobedience is a sign of disloyalty and apostasy. Jesus says in John 14:21, "He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Again, Christ repeated the condition of union with himself. This wonderful and precious promise is made to every one of us here this morning. Our Savior speaks so plainly that no one should fail to understand that true love will always produce obedience. Obedience is a sign of true love. Christ and the Father are one, and those who in truth receive Christ will love God as the great center of their adoration, and they will also love one another, and in so doing will keep the law and exalt our Savior. Oh, friends, many of us will never, never have eternal life unless we see the sinfulness of our lifestyle and realize how greatly it has dishonored God. The Lord tells us that we have dishonored our possession, our profession, by making false paths for our feet and the feet of others. Some of us have been going on and on for years against truth and against knowledge until the Laodicean message applies to us personally. Many of God's children have become corrupted in their faith, corrupted in their beliefs, and corrupted in principle. Many of God's children have dishonored Him and sold themselves to sin, and in word and deed have helped others on in the strange paths they have chosen until they do not know what pure religion is. They have sacrificed faith for worldly favor and are leavened with worldliness, and unless these precious souls surrender all to Jesus, their hardness of heart will set them on a wrong path with no turning back. Oh, friends, may the appeals of our dear Savior not be resisted, nor His mercy abused, nor His provisions of redeeming love made by infinite sacrifice rejected. His heart yearns over us. His hand has been outstretched to save. But many turn away, sadly, slighting His invitations of mercy. And yet, His hand is stretched out still, for our Savior has made provision that all who receive Him shall be given power to become the sons of God. You see, my friends, the servant of the Lord tells us to remember that an example of lukewarmness, carelessness, and indifference is contagious. It's reproduced in a multitude of ways. Many are bound about with worldliness, and apostasy is drying up the very lifeblood of the soul because of the coldness of ministers professing to be watchmen on the walls of Zion, but in truth are playing games with you and me. Friends, you and I need earnest spirituality and the quickening influence of the Spirit of God, which will set us to work most earnestly to warn others to escape the perils which threaten to destroy them. Now, it was not the will of God that Israel should wander 40 years in the wilderness. He desired to lead them directly to the land of Canaan and establish them there, a holy, happy people. But they could not enter in because of unbelief, Hebrews 3:19. Now, because of their backsliding and apostasy, they perished in the desert, and others were raised up to enter the promised land. In like manner, it was not the will of God that the coming of Christ should be so long delayed, and His people should remain so many years in this world of sin and of sorrow. But unbelief has separated us from our Savior. If we refuse to do the work which He has appointed us, others will be raised up to proclaim this message of truth. In mercy to the world, Jesus delays His coming that all may have an opportunity to hear the warning and find in Him a shelter before the wrath of God shall be poured out. But friends, time is running out and will not last beyond His appointed day. Oh friends, we need to be constantly on our guard, watching and praying lest we enter into temptation. For the indulgence of spiritual pride, of unholy desires, of evil thoughts, or of anything that separates us from intimate and sacred association with Jesus imperils our souls. We must have living faith in God. We must fight the good fight of faith if we would lay hold on eternal life. Friends, we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Now, if a thought of apostasy seems grievous and troublesome to you, and you do not desire to become one of the enemies of the truth, or one of the accusers of the brethren, then hate that which is evil, and hold fast to that which is good, and believe in Him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Jude 24. If all of us who come together for meetings of worship and prayer will be fully surrendered to Jesus and lay all on the altar of sacrifice, then the Holy Spirit could be poured out upon us. Friends, God is waiting with longing desire for His character to be reproduced in each one of us. In this world, there is a very real spirit of opposition to the plain Word of God and to the testimony of His Spirit. In this, our day, when many are not fully decided as to the right course, the Lord is calling for people who will move steadily in the path that He has marked out with unshaken determination, carry out His purposes. We as Seventh-day Adventists should know what the Bible says. Like Moses of old, we should stand lovingly but unflinchingly for the right as an example in stemming the current of evil. In the critical times in which we are living, church members of determination are needed. Church members who will stand lovingly but stiffly for the truth at all times and under all circumstances. People who, when they see that others are becoming untrue to principle, will, with tears in their hearts and voices, sound a humble warning against the danger of apostasy. But how sad that those who lovingly offer help are many times criticized and condemned as harsh and unloving. Friends, we're living in the last days of this earth's history, and we may be surprised that nothing in the line of apostasies and denials of the truth and manifestations of Satan. Unbelief and doubt have now come to be a fine art which some work at to the destruction of their souls. There is constant danger from preachers whose lives contradict the words they speak. But in spite of it, the voice of warning and of admonition will still be heard as long as time shall last. Let us not go on like Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar until the Lord takes away our reason and our hearts become unimpressionable. The Lord's word will come to us if we choose not to hear it. The Lord will make us responsible for our own ruin and the ruin of our children. Let us give heed to the warning of Solomon's apostasy and shun the first approach to those sins that overcame him who is called the wisest of men. In these days of peril, nothing but lovingly surrendering and obedience will keep us from apostasy. God has bestowed on us great light and many blessings, but unless this light and these blessings are lovingly received and practiced, they will be no security against disobedience and apostasy. When those whom God has exalted to positions of high trust turn from Him to human wisdom, their light then becomes darkness. And how great is that darkness! their entrusted capabilities are a snare to them, and they become an offense to God. And friends, there can be no mockery of God without the sure end result. That which Satan has led men to do in the past, he will, if possible, lead them to do again. The early church was deceived by the enemy of God and man, and apostasy was brought into the ranks of those who profess to love God. And again today, unless the people of God awake out of sleep, they will be taken unawares by the same devices Satan used on our forefathers. And among those who claim to believe in the near coming of the Savior, there are who have lost their first love, and Satan will do his utmost to focus their eyes on the vanities and pleasures of the world until he fastens them securely in his clutches. May the Lord reveal to us this morning the perils that are before us, and may we arouse from our spiritual slumber and trim our lamps and be found watching for the bridegroom when he shall return from the wedding. Dear friends, Satan will work his miracles to deceive, and he will set up his power as supreme. God's people may appear about to be destroyed, but God's true church does not fall. It remains while the sinners in it will be sifted out, the chaff separated from the precious wheat. Now this is a terrible ordeal, but nevertheless it must take place. None but those who have been overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony will be found with the loyal and true, that is, without spot or without stain of sin and without guile in their mouths. The remnant that purify their souls by obeying the truth gather strength from the testing process and exhibit the beauty of holiness amid the surrounding apostasy. Friends, may you and I be among the loyal and true who exhibit the beauty of holiness and shine as bright and true lights amid the moral darkness that surrounds us day by day. May we shun the false and fleeting pleasures of the world and keep our eyes fixed on our dear Savior, who gave his life that we might live. Oh, may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning, and may we live so close to Jesus that nothing will be able to steal away our crown of life, because we ask it all in the name of our precious and wonderful Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.